This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And as the clock struck 7, 6 minutes ago, we are now putting on our serious faces as we get into the market. But in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Rajiv Rishikaran, Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing, to discuss the impact of the enhanced MCO on PJ Old Town residents. I actually know someone who lives in Old Town, who went to sleep and woke up the next day with razor wire in blocking their house. It's really quite a scary situation.
So he cannot come out, right?
Nope, they can't do.
And how do they get food?
The government did provide some food, but I think the one photo they showed us was just like one packet of Maggie or something. I think that's one of the concerns around there. But right now, we're taking a look at the markets. And Chuang, what is the Bloomberg telling you this morning?
Well, obviously the Americans had a big day yesterday. The S&P and the Nasdaq and the Dow Jones had gains of as much as, well, between 0.9% to 1.6% higher. I think there's some optimism creeping into the market that the economy may be on a stronger footing with lockdown measures being relaxed across the world. And of course, later today, industrial production and retail sales data comes, and that might prove some kind of barometer to the extent that Chinese data can be relied upon of the economy in the world's second biggest economy.
In the economy of the world's second biggest economy. Yeah. And now we've in Asia, the Nikkei closed down 1.7%. The Shanghai was down 1%. Hang Seng went down 1.5%. STI down 1.9%. And the FBM KLCI by just a sliver, up 0.01% at the close yesterday. But right now, for more on global markets, we speak to Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist at COFAS. Carlos, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, good morning. How is everything going?
Good morning to you as well. We're all good on this side. Carlos, Malaysia narrowly avoided a contraction in the first quarter with GDP at 0.7%. But now going into Q2, what kind of economic headwinds will Malaysia have to contend with?
Well, I think it's important to understand that a lot of those lockdown measures were only implemented towards the end of March. So they wouldn't reflect in Q1 data. And we have to highlight that there was a sequential contraction in Q1. With the economy contracting by minus 2% quarter on quarter, which points to underlying weakness in the economy. So we do expect that Malaysia will continue to experience this triple whammy of lockdown measures that have dampened consumption, which accounts for 58% of GDP, political uncertainty that will definitely drag on investments, which are about 25% of GDP, and of course, weaker oil prices globally for the remainder of the year, which will dent government revenues and will restrict the space that the government has to implement fiscal stimulus. So we are looking at those three factors going forward. So that means a sharp contraction in Q2. We didn't see it in Q1, but we will see it in Q2. And a much weaker outlook for 2020 with our year-end forecast now at minus 2%.
So minus 2% for the whole year. What about for the second quarter?
For the second quarter, we are then looking at a much sharper decline in activity, much more in line with what we saw in China in Q1, for example, with activity falling by minus 6.8%. Our current figure is approximately minus 6% for Malaysia.
Yeah. I'm wondering that of Bloomberg data, which suggests that Malaysia might have a smaller contraction than its neighbours in the whole of 2020. Do you agree with that prognosis, Carlos, among the estimates culled by a whole bunch of economists in the region?
I think if you look at the evolution of the consensus forecast over the past few months, it remains very changeable. So no one is really able to predict what will happen. In fact, it seems like the COVID-19 will stay with us for a little bit longer. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that consensus expectation for Malaysia change as well very rapidly. It will all depend on how fast the economy is able to normalize. In the case of Malaysia, given domestic consumption is such a big part of GDP, it really depends on how long will it be before people are able to move around freely. But even if the lockdown measures are removed, you have to factor in all of the weaker sentiment. And it's unlikely, we compare one year with another year, so it's unlikely that consumption will be as high as the same quarter last year in any case. So that's why we are looking at a slightly lower figure. And the reason why the consensus is still a little bit more positive than its neighbors might be because a lot of the economists are still adjusting their views as the situation remains very changeable.
And Carlos, Fed Chief Jerome Powell's somber assessment of the U.S. economy seems to have affected Asian markets. Is this a reality check between the Gulf of the Gulf between Wall Street and Main Street that it can't be too wide?
I think it's a combination of both factors, to be honest with you. A lot of these Asian economies are dependent on U.S. demand. A few countries jump to mind: Vietnam, Malaysia, and Thailand. They have exports to the U.S. accounting for quite a large chunk of their GDP. Inevitably, activity is going to be weaker in line with a decline in external demand for those countries, and the markets are starting to factor that in. We do not live in a bubble. Financial markets are all interlinked. And so a lot of Asian economies, especially if they have vulnerabilities on the external front, are susceptible to capital outflows if there's a global risk on risk-off environment. So when people are worried, they pull money out of emerging markets. And if you happen to be one of those markets that is dependent on this external financing, you're going to have a tough year. So that's another reason why some stock exchanges in the region have not been doing as well as they could have otherwise. And last but not least, it seemed initially like a lot of Asian countries, Southeast Asian countries in particular, were not experiencing coronavirus cases as bad as the USA. But recently, we have seen a pickup in the number in Indonesia and Philippines in particular. So it just means that they enter that lockdown phase at the later stage. And so we are going to see weakness going forwards, even though valuations and yields are still there for many companies and many governments in the region.
Yeah, Carlos, talking about vulnerabilities, the market seems to be pricing in negative interest rates for America, despite Jay Powell's rejections of that possibility. First of all, do you think that's a real eventuality in America? And secondly, to what extent might that guide central bank policy in ASEAN?
It's a reality in the sense that real rates are already negative. They will remain negative for a long period of time. I don't think the Fed will be in a position to hike rates anytime soon. So that is a mixed bag for Asian countries. Of course, it means that the global environment is more negative. However, it does allow a lot of central banks in the region more room to implement monetary policy easing, and we have seen this throughout 2020. And because this is as much a demand shock as it is a supply shock, we do not expect to see significant upside on inflation either in Asia, meaning that real interest rate will remain high relative to the US. So it should be a safe space for a lot of central banks in the region, including in Malaysia, to continue to implement easing measures and to continue to cut rates throughout the remainder of the year to try to stimulate demand, hopefully in the second half, if not in 2021.
All right, Carlos. Do you see rising tensions between US and China, as we've seen over the last few weeks and even more during this week, impacting the recovery of the global economy, especially if things get more heated between President Trump and President Xi?
It's definitely not helping. We are seeing markets reacting to that reality as well. We would want to have more of a synchronized approach, but the geopolitical landscape is increasingly polarized. And of course, if you are a smaller Southeast Asian country, you may sometimes be in a position or even not a small Southeast Asian country. Look at what's happening in Australia. You may be in a position where you have to choose between China or the US. It's definitely not something that is going to help going forwards because of the impact it is having on both consumer and investor sentiment. Nonetheless, it's something that we will have to get used to because the trade war is something that is here to stay. So countries are going to have to get used to navigating a more volatile bilateral relationship between China and the US if they want to be able to thrive in this kind of environment.
Speaking about China, so they're releasing its April retail sales figures today, which is really a gauge of consumer sentiment. What are your expectations given unemployment levels and deflationary trends?
The April activity indicators are important, not only because they are a gauge of consumption, as you rightly mentioned, but also they're the first sort of real glimpse into what's happening in Q1 in the economy. So everybody is going to be looking at those. I think it's going to be a mixed picture. There's going to be a slight recovery in industrial production in line with that pickup in the April PMI figure. this is a little bit fictitious in a sense. There was pent-up demand as China entered lockdown earlier on, and there were a lot of orders that were put in place but were not able to be dispatched. So that's helped manufacturing somewhat. And also the country is slowly getting back to normal, so that is going to help as well to stabilize industrial production. On the retail sales front, they will be better than March's record -16% almost. So that's a very sharp contraction. They will remain contractionary, but maybe not as much. But we do not see significant upside, at least on the consumption front for 2020, because it will just be much harder to boost demand in the current environment. There has been an increase in registered unemployment that is probably going to increase if it's not higher than reported already. And with that increase in unemployment, there's just a loss in purchasing power and an increase in concerns amongst consumers. So it's very unlikely that we will see a pickup in demand at all in 2020. A lot of the fiscal stimulus and a lot of the stimulus measures will start to kick in, but with a lag. It takes quite a while to take a project from sort of inception into fruition, especially if it's a construction or an infrastructure project. So all of that additional demand is only going to kick in 2021. So for the remainder of the year, at least, we are expecting to see domestic demand and in particular retail sales remain in negative territory.
All right, Carlos, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Wishing you a happy weekend ahead. That was Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist with COFAS. Now we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we speak to Rajiv Vishakaran, Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing, on what's happening in PJ Old Town in light of the enhanced MCO. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.